fearless, bold, and honest. That's Coco Peru. Everybody's favorite drag queen from the Bronx is on today's show, here to talk about her career, her love life, and drag queens.
Coco is best known for her work in the films Trick and Girls Will Be Girls, as well as an unforgettable appearance on the groundbreaking TV show Will and Grace.
Listen as Coco talks about how she came up with her famous catchphrase, "It burns," from the film Trick, and how she was devastated filming it, thinking nobody would find her funny.
Coco started doing drag because she wanted to change the world and make everybody love gay people. Did she succeed? Now she's just trying to get by. But what happened along the way?
One thing's for sure, everybody loves Coco Peru. Coco's coming to Chicago on March 7th to the Park West as part of the T-Pan benefit Chicago Takes Off. Will Miss Coco Peru show some skin?
Ooh.
Find out. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fools. Today's show is made possible by generous support of fantastic listeners like you.
We really can't do this show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffools.net, and make a donation or buy a fabulous new t-shirt.
Your contributions make the show possible.
Thank you.
Subscribe to the Feast of Fools podcast on the iTunes Music Store and never miss a delicious show.
Just type in Feast of Fools in the search bar and hit subscribe. Today's show is brought to you in part by Steamworks, Gym Sauna, and Baths.
Last call, everybody!
Hey, it was really nice to meet you.
Same here. What are you doing now?
Let's go to Steamworks.
Steamworks?
You'll love it. Steamworks is a comfortable place to relax, work out, and play. It's open all the time in Chicago. They even have clubs in Berkeley and Seattle, Toronto, and Vancouver. Let's go.
Oh, this jacuzzi feels wonderful.
You want a massage?
Yeah, sure. Visit steamworksonline.com/feastoffools to get a discount on your next visit.
Remember, guys, play hard, play smart. I'll see you at Steamworks.
Hello? Hi, Coco Peru. This is Fausto Fernos.
And Mark Villian from the Feast of Fools podcast. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I've been waiting for your call.
Wonderful.
Waiting?
Well, it's 10:05 here.
Well, I'm one.
Are you Latino?
As a matter of fact.
Well, then that explains it.
It's Puerto Rican time.
Exactly.
It's PR
I grew up
time.
In New York City. I know.
You're lucky we're calling you at all today.
Mañana.
And you actually married a Latin man.
A Spanish man.
Well, he's still Latin. Spain is Latin.
He is?
France is Latin. Italian's Latin.
Oh. Yes, he's from Spain. Spanish, of course.
Oh. How'd you meet your husband, Rafael? You have a wonderful story. You were at on Fire Island.
I went to Fire Island that day with some friends and was angry at my one friend who didn't want to park in the parking lot and was driving around. And I said, we're going to miss the ferry. So we did, in fact, miss the ferry. So we took the other ferry that goes to the other town. And my future husband happened to be on that ferry. And I noticed him. And then when he was sitting on the beach near us, I went over and said hello.
You said, hi, I'm Miss Coco Peru.
No, I told my friend, don't you dare tell him I do drag. He'll run screaming in the other direction.
Well, what do we call you? Do we call you Miss Coco, or is it Coco, Miss Peru?
Coco's fine.
Or President-to-be Clinton.
Exactly.
So you introduced to your future husband by your male name, and he came to check out your act, and he didn't even realize it was you.
That's true. He didn't know that. I didn't tell him I did drag, because at that point in my life, every time guys found out that I did drag, they didn't want to date me. So I thought, I'll just break into him easily. And I don't know what I was thinking, but I invited him to my show and didn't tell him what I did. I thought perhaps the enthusiasm of the crowd would
win him over like a Hollywood musical.
Yeah, but then he kind of freaked out a little bit, and then he was fine.
So it is interesting though, because you work in so much of your personal life into your act, and yet you go by this other name and other persona.
I know, it's crazy.
So when you're sitting down with your therapist,
Exactly.
He's like, well, I was dreaming last night that Coco Peru was strangling me.
Well, you know what it is? I decided, you know, years ago I read all these books about, I shouldn't say all. I read two books about Native Americans and how they had this two-spirit in their mm-hmm. communities, which were men.
You've been doing that in every interview that I've been reading.
we were trying to avoid that.
What do you want to talk about?
Burdashi or whatever that
is? No,
yeah, forget about it. I don't want to talk about it. You think I'm sick and tired of talking about it.
I feel like, what is it, when... Eminem went to the Triumph the Insult Dog uh-huh. and took the script and threw it up in the air.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but it must be more interesting than talking about the Two Spirit.
The Two Spirit.
But I mean, do you feel a little bit schizophrenic?
Well, no. But what I was going to say okay. was that I decided that I was going to embrace yeah. that part of me, and therefore, I wasn't really going to be a drag queen that was pretending to be a woman. I was just going to be myself, but present myself to the world in women's clothes and celebrate that part of myself that I've been taught to sort of shut down and not like.
Well, do you feminize your voice at all, or is this your male speaking voice?
No, this is Coco Peru.
This is Coco Peru.
I mean, it just depends.
And this is also Clinton.
The more enraged I get, the deeper my voice gets.
It burns.
Exactly.
What is the origin of your famous line, "It burns"? It was in the film Trick. Right? You were describing giving a blowjob.
Giving a blowjob and having a cum shot in your eye, and you say, it burns. And gay men have just, they've yeah. taken to that line like kids took to, what you talking about, Willis?
It's this generation's what
you're
talking
about. Thank you for that comparison.
Yeah.
And so you've made a living just on the merchandising sales of It Burns alone.
I didn't make a living on it, much of Trick. I mean, you know, it's funny. People see you in a movie and they think you've made it and you've made a ton of money. I made mm-hmm. very little money off of that mm-hmm. that film. But
yeah, gay independent film, they don't pay, do they?
No.
How could that be? You're famous. You must be loaded.
No, not at all.
You know what it is? It's like you get in an elevator. It's like, oh, there's Coco Peru. Give me $100, Coco.
Now, Coco, was that in the script? So you were reading a line, or is this like a personal story you were able to put into the show?
Actually, Jim Fall, who directed it, was trying to raise money to have this film made. So he was going to have the first reading of it, which actually took place 5 years before the movie ever got made. And he asked me to read opposite the other actors that were auditioning. Coco Peru was not in the movie at that point. So I was mm-hmm. just sitting there, and I was reading the part of that Tori Spelling wound up playing. And Jim said, you know, I can't find any actress to play that for this reading. Why don't you just do it? So I did it, and I rewrote the whole ending of her monologue, and where's the cheese? Where's the cheese on these goddamn fucking fries? So I wrote that, and everyone said, oh my God, the drag queen's so funny, you should keep her in the movie. So they decided to write me into the movie. So they wrote a little bit of a monologue about, you know, hitting certain points, and then I just totally rewrote it.
Mm-hmm.
So I added the It Burns, I wrote the It's Big, It's Beautiful, and You're Gonna Love It. Did she get any writing credit? No.
Oh.
I was reading about that scene that you actually had been rehearsing and practicing for months, and then when it actually was taped, you felt like you didn't do as good as you wanted to.
I actually woke up that evening, the day that we filmed it that night, I woke myself up crying in bed because I thought, here was my one and only chance to be in a movie, and I blew it.
Aww.
But I was thrilled the way it turned
out. It was
out.
Wonderful because it's so funny, but it's so stalkerish and weird and creepy, but charming. It's really a nice blend of many different things.
And so when you sat in the audience and you actually heard the public response, and now you're trying to live it down in a sense.
I'm never trying to live it
no?
down. People always say, you must be tired of hearing this, but I loved you in Trick. And really, you know, all I ever wanted to do was be a performer and you know, get in a, you know, be in a movie. And the fact that people remember my lines and quote it is a thrill for me. I'll never get tired of hearing that.
So does your boyfriend ever go, it burns with you? Or
No, that's pushing it.
You're
a
like,
little too
watch
far.
The eyes, watch the eyes. You know how
exactly.
I feel about that.
But it does burn. I mean, people come up to me and say, it doesn't burn, but, you know.
It does burn.
It does burn. I have
well,
very sensitive
be,
eyes. Maybe it's the blue eyes.
It's the what is it? You
the
said
alkali.
That sperm
it's,
is alkaline. And
it's alkaline. Yeah, it's an alkaline.
So it's supposed
to
burn.
The pH is different.
It's supposed to sting.
It's like soap. because soap is an alkaloid, you know, because like the vagina is acid,
acidic.
So you need like an out. You need a nice pH balance.
Vaginas aren't acids.
Well, they are acidic, you know. So you have to have the counterbalance, as it were.
It's all about balance, isn't it?
So how'd you come up with your name? I mean, did you steal it from a Peruvian person? Is that really true?
Well, when I went to Peru the first time, my ex is Peruvian.
Mm.
So I went with him to Peru, and I was introduced at this gay club to this boy named Coco, and Coco is a boy's name in Peru. Mm-hmm. He was very cute and charming, and then next thing I know, he came out as this Las Vegas showgirl, and it turns out he's very famous in Peru, and mm-hmm. at that time he was on TV a lot, and I was just really impressed that this guy was doing this in this very macho, religious Catholic country, and then became, crossed over.
How'd you like Peru?
Oh, I love Peru.
Which club did you go to? I went to Gitano. Did you?
Oh, I don't even remember the names of the clubs I went to.
Because there are people listening to the show that are actually live in Peru.
Yes.
What were you going
to
say?
There are people who actually live in this in Peru that listen to the show right now.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's amazing.
We'll give a little shout out.
Shout out to
my ex, just in case he's listening. Hola, Eduardo.
Well, it's a small gay world in Lima, so.
Have you guys actually, like, come back together or done a show together or like, had some sort of, like, long-lost sister?
Or is he, like, bitter in Peru right now going, that bitch stole my name, my career?
No, she's fine. And, you know, I've expressed to her that, I did call myself Coco and then added the Peru on. And, but I haven't seen her in since that first time I saw her years ago.
Mm.
So she's kind of like, she could be dead for all we know.
Well, I know she's not dead because people write to me all the time telling me that they've seen her out and stuff. So.
I saw your Peruvian doppelganger. She's much, much uglier than you are.
No, she's gorgeous.
She is?
Yeah. And we're just trying to stir up trouble, the two of you.
We want some drag queen wars going on here.
I think international would be sort of interesting.
International drag queen
wars. So are you like allowed back in the country, or is there like a embargo?
Yes, I was just there a few years ago with my partner. We went and actually stayed with my ex.
Wow. Do you go to Lima, or do you like take him on a tour of like the country? Like,
well,
do you go
no,
to Machu
we went
Picchu?
Up to Machu Picchu and Cusco. Well.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, yeah, it's and the food is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But so you never made an attempt to reconnect with the original Coco Peru?
No, I never made the attempt.
And I'm kind of curious why not.
You're stuck on this, aren't you?
I am fascinated that the fact that somebody who was the genesis of your name, and now you're this very successful public
figure.
Yeah,
you're a star.
That why wouldn't you want to, like, you know, have a photo taken with your genesis?
Well, you know, I what happened was, I'm and it's public, I the Coco that I based, you know, I didn't base myself on her. I just called myself Coco because I thought it was a great name. I know she had a stroke and was ill, so I mean, I wasn't going to, you know. And only recently did I get emails saying that she was feeling better and starting to, perform again.
Oh, I didn't know she was sick. Well, that's sad.
So she had been sick while I was there.
Well, okay. So should we do a little prayer for her?
Don't pray.
If you'd like to.
So someone can do a silent prayer.
We'll do a moment of prayer.
Well, so when you first started becoming a drag queen, you were saying, I want to change the world and make everybody love gay people. And then, do you still feel that way?
Well, I mean, I do. I mean, that's always been my, you know, quest. But I'm, you know, at this point in my life, I have to pay off a mortgage. So cash comes into there as well.
So what broke your heart? I mean, I guess you don't want to change the world anymore. You just want to.
I just want to make some money.
Is that what happens to a lot of people, though? I think, I don't know. But
well, when you're in your early 20s, you really think that you're going to change the world. And then when you get, you know, a little bit older, you start to realize, okay, well, I can continue to do what I do. And if it changes the world, great. And in the meantime, I need to pay some bills.
Mm-hmm.
So you realize the limitations of your life and your existence.
Well, I've come to terms with it, but at the same time, I'm always hopeful.
So what did you want to change?
You know, I think in some ways, the gay community, and I feel like things have changed since when I was in my early 20s. Certainly gay people are coming out at much younger ages. I didn't come out till I was 23, to my family. And I get emails. I got an email from an 11-year-old who, with his parents, watched my logo special. So
isn't that amazing that somebody at the age of 11 knows
and
what
he
they
wrote,
want?
Thank you for everything you do for the LGBT community. And of course, my instinct, I wanted to write back, you're 11, how the fuck do you even know what an LGBT community is? But you know, I wrote back, you know, thank you and do well in school, because he's 11 and I was terrified of writing back to an 11-year-old.
Yeah, I always, we get letters from kids sometimes too that are like 12 and 13, and I always like, remember, you like, just because you're coming out, it doesn't mean you don't have to study at school or you still have to clean your room.
Exactly,
you know,
that's what I say. And respect your elders.
Well, a lot of people give credit to that famous sitcom that you were part of, Will and Grace, as changing Americans' perceptions.
I think it did. I mean, in fact, I watched a show on Frontline, on one of these PBS shows, and they were interviewing kids, and they talked about gay, you know, they brought up gay issues, and they were like, oh, that's not a problem for us. I mean, you know, we grew up on Will and Grace, so, you know, it was sort of shocking to hear this group of teenagers who were all straight sort of laughing, not at gay people, but laughing at the fact that the interviewer might have thought they had a problem with gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you were actually taping those scenes for Will and Grace, was there ever a sense of you know, you're like, I'm doing this because it's going to change the world. And
no, all I was thinking was cash.
I'm getting
TV
paid.
Pays.
I'm getting paid good money to do this. Two lines.
Don't fuck it up.
No, actually, I had a great time, and it was a thrill. And I was hoping that it would lead to more, but, you know, never did, but.
Do you think we'll ever see a television show like Will and Grace again?
I really don't know if it'll be like that, but I definitely think that it'll probably even be more mainstream in a way. Where
well, I know that Ugly Betty won't be that. They stole your material.
They stole your material. What happened?
You worked at, I don't know. What happened, Coco?
I don't really watch too much TV as far as like sitcoms and things that you sort of follow from week to week. And I just happened to turn it on this one night and I saw the little boy and I thought, oh, this is the gay kid. Yeah, let me watch this. And and as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is like my show. And then as it went on, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And then, you know, and then people wrote to me saying, did you see Ugly Betty? And I just, well, anyway, I wound up hearing from other people that work for the show that one of the men that specifically wrote for that character was known to steal people's material. So I felt a little bit validated in my feelings that, you know, this chunk of material had been stolen from my show. And it was actually a part of my logo thing that I mentioned earlier.
So when you do the show, do you reference it and say, this is stolen?
In my latest,
you may have heard on Ugly Betty, but I came up with it first.
No, I don't do that. But in my latest show, the one that I call Ugly Coco, I address why I called the show Ugly Coco, and it's for that reason, because I felt like I had to take some of my power back.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, you're going to steal from me, I'm going to steal from you.
Well, is it frustrated?
Oh, I get it. Ugly Betty, Ugly Coco. Yeah,
exactly. But also, I mean, there's another reason why it's Ugly Coco, because I tend to get a little ugly in my shows.
Now, does he still have a job there writing for them?
As far as I know, no.
Okay.
Well, it can be frustrating, though, because you work a lot in mainstream, big-scale business, you know? And in Hollywood, sometimes you'll go in a meeting with somebody, talk for months, and then they turn around and they say they're not going to work with you, but they're going to take every single idea you presented in that meeting and do a project on it.
It's true. And, you know, when I first moved here, you hear all the stereotypes of L.A., and a lot of them are true. And I mean, I absolutely love living here, and I do enjoy the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But there were moments where you just think, oh my God, this is like, I had meetings with agents, and I had to laugh at this one agent calls me and begs me not to sign with any other agents. I'm going to bring you in next week to meet the rest of the agents here, and you know, made such a big fuss about me and was so thrilled. Never heard from him again.
Sounds like a lot of my early dates.
That was what? How do you go from gushing to to not returning any of my calls. It was crazy.
I think it's called bipolarism.
Yes, and then another agent I went to see calls me, and I drive all the way out to Santa Monica, pay for parking, go up to see him. He goes, I just have to tell you, I absolutely love you, and I'm so thrilled that I'm getting to meet you, but I can't do a thing for you. I called you in here because I just wanted to meet you. You're too old, and you're gay.
Are you serious?
Yes. I said, you, what? I said, well, I hope you got to pay for my parking. I just paid fucking $16. You know? And anyway, so I left there feeling like not only horrified that he couldn't do anything for me, but he's insulting me. I'm gay and I'm too old.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm doing my show.
Yeah.
And this girl comes with a group of acquaintances of mine. But she wants to get in free because she works for an agency. So my producer at the time walks up to her friend, that's his friend, and says, do you know this girl? He says, yeah. And he says, well, no, make her pay. She came as my friend, not as an agent. Well, anyway, it turns out she worked for the agent that had called me in. And this agent calls me and says, you know, one of my agents came to see your show, and you made her pay. Would you mind sending me the $20 back?
Are you serious?
I couldn't believe it.
That's crazy.
I thought to myself, I'll send you the $20 mm-hmm. back if I can personally shove it up your ass. But he never got it. I never sent it. Heard from him again.
It is the Hollywood cliche that these people have meetings over nothing, and like nothing ever happens. You just meet, and constantly meet.
Yeah, that's what my partner always. It's the Hollywood talk.
It's the Hollywood talk.
I almost kind of want to turn the meeting into the entertainment. You know, I think a lot of people would actually enjoy watching you sit with a Hollywood producer.
You know, I don't know why. I would love to have my own reality. You know, everybody has a reality mm-hmm. show nowadays. I don't feel like I'm that interesting to have one, but when I see what's on, I think I should have my own reality show.
What's like the worst reality TV show you've ever watched?
Like I don't know, but I did one that I've never seen. It was called Welcome to the Parker. And it took place out in Palm Springs.
I saw that.
It was just a humiliating, awful experience.
Yeah, it was really, I don't know if I saw the episode that you were on, but yeah. I do remember seeing it and I thought, oh, this is kind of tragic.
And there's nothing real about it. You know, they set all of that up.
Mm-hmm.
What's the premise?
You were into entertaining in front of a crowd, weren't you?
We had a bingo game to raise money.
Yes, that's what I do remember seeing that.
What was the premise of it? So for people who are not familiar with it.
The Palm Springs Hotel, and then it was kind of like gay run, so it was a lot of gay things going on there. But it was just they had like a romance between a busboy and I don't know, the office clerk or something. It was just awful.
Well, you know, I have to
say, you know what show I do mm-hmm. love? I love The Amazing Race.
Isn't that fun?
So that's my show.
Well, maybe could do that. Yeah,
yeah. Maybe you and your husband can do that and drag.
I always say we should go on it, and you know how they say who they are. I thought underneath our names it could say the drag queen and the professor.
What's he a professor of?
That's Spanish.
Oh, so does he teach in the LA area, or do you guys live in Spain sometimes? Or
no, he teaches in the LA area, and we spend our summers in Spain.
So Peru, Coco Peru habla español.
Un poquito.
Where in Spain do you live? When you go there?
In the south, in Andalusia.
Oh.
But he's from the north.
Oh, okay.
One of your most successful film projects, Girls Will Be Girls, pairs you off with Varla Jean Merman and Evie, the Hollywood has-been. What was that experience like in coming together to make this wonderful ensemble film?
You know, I have great memories of it. It was a wonderful experience. And the great thing about working with Evie and Varla is that they're both very talented actors, so they're not like starved for attention. They know when it's like your turn to shine,
mm-hmm.
and so the three of us really worked well together because we enjoyed watching each other, and we enjoyed watching each other succeed. So there was never that kind of on the set kind of craziness. We were all laughing at each other's scenes. But I do remember, I was very insecure the first week that we filmed that film because I was used to being, I do my own shows, of course, with Trick. Mm-hmm. I was used to having the funny lines and being the funny one. And here in this film, I was sort of the sad sack. You know, Evie would film a scene and the crew would be having to stifle their laughs. I would do a scene and people would have to be, you know, taking no-dos and trying to stay awake.
Because you were the doormat.
I was the doormat. So my scenes weren't, you know, my lines, I didn't think were particularly funny. And then the first week, the director and writer, Richard Day, who's brilliant, he came over and he sat next to me and I thought, well, finally he's going to give me some direction and maybe, you know, help me feel better about this. And he sits down next to me, he goes, I'll tell you, that Varla, she is hilarious. I mean, she's brilliant. And she's doing exactly what I want her to do. And then he got up and walked away. So anyway, the way I dealt with it was I decided that I was just going to play everything for real, and I was going to do the opposite of what the other two girls were doing, that I would just, you know, play it as real as I possibly could.
Because I had thought that the three of you had wonderful chemistry, or have wonderful chemistry, and you were so, for a while I was going, you know, for three drag queens doing this ensemble work, it's not, you guys don't feel phony. It felt like almost like I was watching three really like bizarre women interacting with each other. Was there any like pitch shifting to your voice or any special training that you guys had to sort of
No,
click?
I mean, you know, Varla's been doing her show for years and he sings soprano, so his voice can sound like a female, and Jack is a wonderful actor, and you've probably seen him in a bunch of other things that you don't even realize it's the same guy.
The actor Jack Plotnick.
Jack Plotnick, who does Evie. And then that was the other thing, is like their characters are women in their worlds when they do their own shows. And, and for me to adjust to having to play a woman, I've always played, you know, a boy who happens to do drag. So,
well, you guys decided to continue it as a online web series.
We did during the writer's strike. Richard was bored and had nothing to do, so he wrote a couple of webisodes. And now I think he's even considering turning it into a stage show, a musical.
I'd love to see it as a sitcom.
Well, you know, that's originally what it was supposed to be. It was written for Showtime, and Showtime was almost ready to make it into one of their shows. And at the last the meeting, right before they decide what goes, they decided that Girls Will Be Girls was a no.
Meetings, the kryptonite of drag queens.
Yes, it was between us and another show, and they went with the other show because they decided to go in a classier direction.
And so the L word was born.
And so I said to Richard Day, I said, well, I think we should just make it into our own little movie.
It's really spectacular, you know, and I hope that Richard Day continues this project, you know.
I hope so, too, because I need the work.
Well, we'll have to get him on it.
Richard, are you listening? Get that made.
You know,
out of the sling and back into the writer's station.
But what's sad is that, like, I get emails from these young people, you know, all over the states that live in these very small communities that, you know, are craving this kind of entertainment, and they watch this movie over and over. They have their friends over, and it makes me sad that it didn't turn into a series. Even on Logo, I can't believe that someone wouldn't take this. It could, you know, Absolutely Fabulous was such a big hit here in the States, and this I really thought that this was going to be, you know, our version of Absolutely Fabulous.
Well, I think the British are a little more accepting of drag queens, you know.
Absolutely.
So, you know, because those women basically, they were drag queens. They were caricatures of women, stuff like that. Well, do you think Logo kind of thinks like they have to be like a little too politically correct, and that maybe drag, even in this day, is a little subversive?
I think you're right. I think Logo has a little fear of drag, and I think they're trying to tread the water lightly, and I think, you know, RuPaul has her show now on there, and that's a good sign.
Well, I think it's going to save the ratings. I mean, it's the best thing I've seen on their television station in a long time.
Yeah, I was really pleased, and that's what I actually had lunch with Varla yesterday, and I said I hope it's successful, because I think if that works, then they'll be more willing to try out some other drag shows.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I watched it online. Well, so it was fun.
I feel almost though the technology exists right now where talented, creative, hysterically funny, beautiful individuals as yourself might want to be turning to video blogging and just, you know, cut out everybody except, you know, if Chris Crocker and B. Scott have fabulous careers, why not Coco Peru?
I thought about that. You know, I thought about, you know, if no one else, you know, wants to do anything, I could just sit here in my house, not have to go out, and just talk.
Because you're funny, because like, that's what you do when you do your stand-up, your routine, you're a comedic storyteller. So are your stories real, or do you kind of make them up to fit a good joke?
No, they're real. I tell autobiographical stories because I find that life and usually the sort of horrifying, embarrassing moments of your life are what is so funny.
Yeah, just so you know, my sister really is retarded. And that's not, you know.
You're talking about your sister,
I'm
Mark.
Not making that up. And if you want, I will email you a photo of her.
Well, she's differently abled.
She has Down syndrome.
And
yes.
She has Down syndrome.
Right.
Oh.
But I don't mind you people.
And
using
I
the
love
word,
people with Down syndrome.
Actually, I do too. I mean, I've always, you know, that's the thing. You know, I grew up in the Bronx, and we used the word retarded a lot, and so every now and then it does slip out. But what's funny is not funny, but what. I grew up you grew up in a community and you have certain families that you're very close to, and one of the families we were very close to had a disabled child, and she was maybe a year or two older than me, but she was part of our group, and to me she was, you know, a friend. It used to devastate me when other children would make fun of her.
For people that weren't listening, I was referencing part of your act where you say retarded and somebody got mad at you because you called somebody, you used the word retarded. And and what is it? The guy goes, my sister's retarded. And do you want to see a picture of it? Well, it's
yes,
your
yes,
joke.
Yeah, it's everyone that in this group that I was talking to wanted to look at a picture of her. And it was just like, you're kidding me. And then it turned out, I really believe that he seized that opportunity just to shift all the attention onto himself, which, you know, it was just one of those awkward moments. Mm-hmm. But I actually had a few people come up to me after my show that were very offended that I used the word. And it was like, but that was the point of the whole show, is that, you know, we're not always doing the right things and saying the right things and...
Well, for queer people, we're very focused on words. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, are you gay? Are you queer? Are you flaming or tingling or whatever?
There's a bit of a controversy going on right now because the Dallas Voice, I don't know if you know the newspaper, I'm sure you're probably familiar with it, uses the word tranny to describe, you know, trans people. And there's some bloggers out there from like Planet Transgender that are saying that the media should not use the word tranny to describe trans people and or drag queen, and that both of these words are derogatory terms.
Is
drag
a four
queen?
Drag is a four letter word.
No.
It is. It has four letters. What's up with that? I mean, it's like, you know, isn't queen enough for some people?
I loved, that was one of my other things when I first started. People used to, and they really thought they were giving me some great advice, said, do not call yourself a drag queen, because they felt like it was a bad word. And for me, it was empowering to be able to say I'm a drag queen. I loved being able to say that and say it proudly.
Well, I think that when I see drag queens saying, I'm an adult entertainer, or, you know,
I'm not a drag queen, I'm a female illusionist.
Yes, and I've been around people like that, and I look at them and say, honey, you're a drag queen.
And mentally ill.
And retarded.
And retarded.
I mean, what is that sensibility that someone feels like they're incomplete, and so they put on this costume, and suddenly they become the important, self-fulfilled person they always dreamed to be?
Well, I don't know, but in my own case, I can remember very early on, I was drawn to my mom's earrings, and I loved wearing scarves as a child, and anything that was flowing, and I was drawn to that. I think it's just part of my nature. And of course, we live in a society where things are very black and white, and there's no room for that, mm-hmm. other thing. And therefore, you grow up trying to stifle that, and you, the shame starts to settle in, and all of that, and then all of a sudden you discover this world where you can be whoever you want to be, and
when you want to be a 350-pound inflated Marilyn Monroe, what does that say about you as a person?
Well, she's not 350.
I'm not saying her, but
who are you talking about?
Well, specific individuals that you may not be aware of, but I was like, it is sort of interesting to me that the mindset and being in drag myself is that when you put on the costume, you feel like it gives you permission to be this extravagant, outrageous person that you may not necessarily be aware that you can be, regardless of the costume.
Right, and I also think it has something to do with creating, and so many people, fall into these roles. That, with all the family dynamics, society's dynamics, you just fall into playing certain roles, and therefore you're not even creating who you want to be. You're just doing things that are expected of you. Mm-hmm. And drag allows you to break through that wall of where you're actually creating who you want to be and how you want to present yourself. And in that way, it's very freeing. And in many ways, I think that's why I've had a lot of even straight women come to see my shows and say, I want to be like Coco Peru, because I think that Coco gives them permission to create, and be who you want to be.
Are there any times when being Coco Peru is limiting, or you wish that you hadn't built a career around this character?
No, but I understand what you mean. I do think that, I had actually trained to be an actor, and Coco Peru was going to be one vehicle for me. And as it turns out, it's really become the focus of my career. And I really do believe that. I've seen casting agents that I know call in other gay actors for roles that I could easily play, but they only think of me as Coco Peru.
How do you deal with that?
I'm not complaining. I've been able mm-hmm. to survive and work, and I have a great life. So I'm not. It doesn't really affect me all that
but
much.
But you would like to do things outside of the Coco persona?
I would, but I'm at this point. I almost feel like. And in this economy, I'm just counting my blessings.
Well, you're coming to Chicago, and you're going to be at T-Pen at March 7th at the Park West.
Yes,
for Chicago takes off, so it's a burlesque show. So how much clothes are you going to take off for
I
the
will not
benefits?
Be taking off anything.
What? It's the Chicago takes off.
It's a stripping show.
It's a strip show. Didn't they tell you?
I'll take off an eyelash.
You have a pretty good body, though. You could totally do it.
Yeah, but when you put... You throw on three pairs of stockings, it pulls in everything in the right way.
And so you're also going to be down in Sydney for Mardi Gras?
I will be there. Yeah, I leave in about a week.
Wow, that's so exciting. So you're going to go from the beautiful summer of Australia up to the cold, cold winter of Chicago.
I know. Actually, I've never been to Chicago. Every time I mention that I'm going there, people say, when? And I say March, and people's faces just go, oh, like, oh, yeah.
Do you have a fur coat?
No, I don't have a fur coat.
Oh, okay, you need to
I don't even have a Coco coat, like for Coco.
We had
That's what I figured. That's what I meant. But you have to, you got to wear something warm.
We had this other drag queen that came on the show.
Poor Jackie. It was Jackie B.
It was Jackie B. She did not wear... she wore like a t-shirt.
And it was like December 18th. It was the worst winter storm ever. And it was just like... She's just like, well, I just go from the car to the car. It won't be that bad.
It couldn't have happened to a nicer person, though.
And you said it, not me.
She's hysterical.
Yeah, she is hysterical.
I saw her show this summer in P-Town. She's just so filthy, and I loved every minute of it.
Who do you look up to? I mean, I know you're gal pals with Varla Jean Merman and Evie. Who are the drag queens that inspire you?
The drag queen that first inspired me was Charles Bush. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been, you know who Charles Bush is.
Oh, yeah.
He's been on,
Die, Mommy, Die.
Exactly. I went to see one of his shows in New York City. This was before I did drag. And I remember sitting in the audience thinking, I could do this. And part of that was that most of the drag that I had been exposed to at that point was in bars and lip syncing. And I enjoyed watching that, but I never felt like that's something I wanted to do. I enjoyed it with the rest of the guys watching a great drag queen. But when I saw Charles Bush doing drag on a stage and playing a character, and I that inspired me, and I thought I could do that. And then, of course, I left the theater and felt terrible, because I still had a little bit of that residual shame about being effeminate. And then I just went for it. So Charles Bush was the original inspiration for me.
He was the wind beneath your wings.
He was. And what was great was that I wound up becoming friends with him. He came to see my show. And the actress that was often in his place, Julie Halston, was who I thought was hysterical. I was a huge fan of hers, too. And they wound up coming to see my shows, becoming friends of mine. And my best compliment was that they came backstage one time and said, "We've decided Coco Peru is the love child of Charles Bush and Julie Halston." So it was amazing. It was amazing to me, that I thought back, here I was sitting in that theater with my Peruvian boyfriend at the time, dreaming that I would be like these people, and here they are, hanging out with me at my show.
Oh.
Well, the success of your stage show means a lot of celebrities sort of come backstage and meet you and want to be close to you because you're so funny. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, any?
You said,
I have to say I'm kind of into the guy, The Rock.
I am.
I'm quoting you back to yourself.
Yes, you said you're into The Rock.
I am.
And because last year I noticed that he went to the Oscars all by himself, he didn't have a date, and I thought, is he trying to say what's going on here?
What's
the Hollywood gossip? Don't you think I would look lovely just hanging off of his arm? Although he'd have to go in his wrestler's outfit, really, for me to
make the full
deal.
Yeah. The deal. Don't you think Raphael's gonna get a little jealous though?
Not at all.
He'd be like,
if it's The Rock, it's okay.
You can have an affair with The Rock. Everyone does.
Just film it.
So the Coco Peru Rock video will be on XTube next week.
Exactly.
That's going to be fun.
So what's coming up for you in the future? I mean, can I convince you right now, for the sake of your fans, Coco, video blog?
You might. I might go there.
So I want you to, if you start video blogging, say Fausto. Fausto got me to do it. What?
I'm always out of town, so that when I get back to my house, I just want to sit on my couch and do a crossword puzzle and drink lattes.
Just get it like a flip. Rosie does it with her thing.
No, Rosie quit blogging.
Or Kate Clinton uses the flip. So she just turns on this little device, doesn't require any technology know-how, and you record it. You press the on button and off button, and then you upload it to YouTube.
It's a little bit different, though, when you have to spend 2 hours slapping on makeup.
But I'm saying, maybe back, since you're always in costume, maybe in your dressing room.
Oh, that's a good idea. Do it, actually. You know what? You're right. Maybe that's a good idea.
I want you to do this so bad. I really do.
Must have more cocoa.
More cocoa puffs. I'm crazy for Coco Peru.
I'm going to put it out there in the universe and see what happens.
Yeah.
Coco Peru. I'm going to vibrate cocoa. If you do it, you got to say in your first video, I'm doing this because Fausto told me to.
Well, how about a Coco Peru vibrator?
Wow. They actually have, in Chicago now, they have a business that will deliver vibrators to your home. So you can order a pizza, you can order a vibrator.
Oh, see.
Isn't that wonderful? Or a butt plug or whatever. What turns Coco on? I don't even know.
Oh, Lord, what turns me on?
If you can stick it in, put your face on it, and it'll sell.
And it's a little bit acidic.
Alkaline.
So thank you so much for coming on the show, Coco. I know I'm sort of leaving you with Coco Peru anal butt plug.
Honey, if it made me cash, they'd be out there.
And so we're excited to see you at the Chicago Takes Off, which is coming up on March 7th.
And what I really hope is that I get to return to Chicago and do my own one-person show there.
Absolutely. If there's anything we can do to help you make that happen, let us know.
All right. So will I be meeting you at this T-Pan thing?
I'll come backstage.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you don't mind that you won't like bar us from backstage.
No, I want to meet you guys.
Okay, yeah.
She'll be like with a security going,
If you have time,
kick them out.
If you have time, stop by and do another show with us.
I would love to. I mean, we've talked about butt plugs. I'm sure there's other things we could find to talk about.
I'm sure there's tons.
It'll be like Home Shopping Network.
With a twist.
With a sexy twist. Coco, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
It was my pleasure, and thank you for promoting the T-Pan show as well.
It's a pleasure. And anything else? Where else are you doing? You're doing Mardi Gras. You're doing Chicago Takes Off.
Oh, and then in L.A., I'm doing 3 weekends, and each weekend I'm doing a different show of the 3 shows that I wrote for this particular theater at the Gay and Lesbian Center.
Okay.
So I'm very excited about that.
All right, we'll put a link up to that, too.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Coco.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Wasn't she delightful?
Coco Peru lives in Los Angeles, California, with her husband, Raphael, and their 2 cats.
They have 2 cats?
Well, I don't know about the 2 cats, but I know she lives with Raphael.
I think she's a dog person.
She is? Okay, she's with her dog, Woof.
She owns a chinchilla.
A chinchilla. 6 chinchillas in a cage attacking the sawdust trying to get clean.
Feeding them and saying, get bigger, and she'll make her coat so she can wear it here in Chicago when she comes for March 7th at the Park West as part of T-Pan's benefit known as Chicago Takes Off. So will Coco Peru show some skin at this? You'll have to come to it and find out. How naked will Coco get?
You know what we're going to do is I'm going to bring the video camera, go backstage with her into her dressing room.
Yes.
And try to take some clothes off.
Yes.
We're going to take your clothes off for you, Coco.
She's like, not my padding. No.
Today's Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of fantastic listeners like you and by Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure!
Saca la presión. Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and now Vancouver, British Columbia, and Canada. When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get that fabulous special discount. Remember, folks,
Play hard, play smart.
In this economy, you can't afford not to go to steamworks.com and enter Feast of Fools on the promo feed.
I want to say, too, that Steamworks is a proud sponsor of this T-Pan Chicago Takes Off benefit.
They are, but I'm trying to remind people that they need to go to steamworksonline.com, type in Feast of Fools on the promo code field, because they'll get a coupon in their email, or I'm not sure, they'll get a discount in the email so they save money.
Yes.
You can't afford not to do this.
Yes.
You have to stimulate the economy while you're stimulating yourself, you know? And we're going to do a shout out to the good people at T-Pan who set us up with a fabulous date with Coco Peru. And we'll hopefully bring her on a lot sooner.
I hope she can do it when she comes in town. Wouldn't that be fun?
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
You know what's playing in the background?
What?
It's Christian Bale screaming fuck. His freak out rant.
What's the story behind this?
Well, he was mad, and I guess somebody recorded it and put it up on the internet trying to punish him. But of course, it's had the opposite effect. It's made him into a viral sensation. So this song is called Bail Out. It's by the artist Revolution, a fantastic music producer. Best also known for his song Stunning. He remixed Stunning. Robbie D. Stunning with Calpurnia Adams.
Okay.
Jer Burr Jones, also known as that. But Revolution's fantastic, and I'm like, just discovered his music, and it's hot, it's fantastic. And you can learn more about his music through our website, feastoffools.net. Learn more about Coco Peru through our website, feastoffools.net. You'll learn about a lot of things on the Feast of Fools.
You do. I want to thank everybody. Bye-bye.
Who's your name?
I'm Mark Fillion.
I'm Fausto Furnos. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shut the fuck up. Think for one fucking second. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Think for one fucking second. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? Give me a fucking answer. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut up if you can't take a joke. You are trashing my scene.
Fucking ass.